Today we're speaking about the community in Christ. We have gone through a bit of a series about Jesus and about all his different facets and being fully man, being fully God, being the Lamb, the ultimate sacrifice to reconcile us, and then as well to be the way, the high priest, the one that guides us to the Father. And we're changing that to roots, the foundations of Christian living. And Leonard shared last week about devotions and how we pray and how we spend time in the Word and with God. And today I want to talk about our community in Christ. What does a community, a Christ-like community, look like? So if the Bible verse is up there, 1 Peter 2, you want to turn your Bibles there and we're going to read from verse 1. So put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, that stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, and as they were destined to. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for a word. Thank you for your Bible. And thank you for a morning where we get to honor you and honor the mums and honor your holy place, your church. And I thank you that we are in your presence, and I pray that your will be done. You have your way in this room, in this time. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and fill us, quicken our hearts, make our ears open, receptible to what you want to put into our hearts today. And I pray that we will not leave this room unchanged today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a powerful piece of scripture, lots packed in there, and I'm taking out a few things about community, and if I had to say it in one sentence there, God calls us to a community in Christ so that we can proclaim his greatness. Now what does that mean? I want to talk about four things. The first thing is he talks there about a spiritual house. We are a spiritual house, we're building one. And we're the stones. The second thing is there's a cornerstone. There's some specific one that's kind of the guide, that's the gauge that will show us. And then there's the placement of us as stones. We get placed into a position. And the fourth one is the purpose. What's the purpose of this spiritual house, this amazing thing that God is busy building? So we start with spiritual house. My question is, where is your spiritual house? We are all part of one. We, as a living stone, get to choose to place this living stone into a spiritual house. And there's many examples of communities, spiritual houses, and one could be, for instance, family. Family is a place where we could pour our lives into, and it's good where we love our family, where that's our place of attention, and we are pouring out into that spiritual house. I don't remember if most of you have seen my big fat Greek wedding, and that father, the Greek dad, I think his spiritual house is his family and his children, and he was holding it so close, and he just wanted his daughter to work in the restaurant and be a good Greek little girl and marry a Greek husband and have little Greek babies and just work in that restaurant for the rest of her life. And when that started to shake a little bit. When that didn't go as he's planned, his foundations were shaking. You see, he put his whole heart, his spiritual house was his family. And you could see that that family did not last the way he wanted it to last, right? Another example could be our favorite hockey team, the Oilers. We have fan clubs in the city. I wasn't always aware of this, but Josh helped me a bit on understanding how crazy these fans clubs can be. And people have rituals. They have little things they do on game day, which they think contribute to the success of the Oilers playing. And that can be a spiritual house. We can pour everything into the Oilers. We can go to every game. The Oilers, that can be a spiritual house. Another one, gaming. This is something I learned in Canada as well. But back when I was still playing computer games or video games, it was a thing of, you were kind of a guy on your own. You were alone in the dark playing your games, and you were a recluse in a sense. But there's gaming communities. If you didn't know that, I learned that over the past years. So these guys on their own, they can connect to people in China and Hong Kong and Australia and Singapore and everywhere, and they like it. They want to be together with guys like themselves. They don't have to talk or chat or see each other, but they interact over these games, and they love it. They pour their hearts into it. So my question is, who has your heart? Which spiritual house are you pouring your heart into? The community we select to belong to will shape us, and it will possibly start defining us. I remember in engineering school, we get there first year, it's a bunch of little skinny kids, some are bigger, some are smaller, but we get there and okay, we're going to try this engineering thing. And as you start going through the subjects, everybody looks okay, you know, it's just boys and girls studying. And as the years gone by, we get to deal more and more with the engineers in the faculty, not just the math and science and chemistry profs. Now we're starting to deal with the engineers, and you can see how individuals all of a sudden start pouring their heart into this career. And they start to talk a little bit differently. If you know, three-letter acronyms, TLAs, and they would say, hey, how's that MOW going for your TRS that you did at the BWO? And not even people that would study the same subject would always know what he's talking about, because he makes up these acronyms for me. It's sometimes hard to understand. They start to wear, they lose their dress sense a little bit, engineers. Real engineers, right? It becomes a thing of, I care so little about how I look. I just put on the first thing that I can get as I get out of bed. Some engineers, because all they focus on is this engineering thing they're learning. They start walking maybe in right angles instead of diagonal. You can clearly see which individuals have put their heart now into this thing called their career, their profession, engineering. And it defines them. It becomes their identity. It happens. Some choose to build this house completely on their own. What do we call a home built out of one stone? I think it's a cave. Caves are dark, damp. It's not a place of a lot of joy in my mind. It's where we go and hide sometimes. But some people choose, hey, I'm on my own. I don't need other people. And they select to go to the cave. But what does God say? It says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Hebrews 10 verse 25. We are meant to be with people. That's how God created us. And I'm an introvert. I like to energize on my own. I enjoy driving to work and home from work in complete silence. And my mind is going, and I energize when I drive. And sometimes I'm not there yet when I get to home, and I just stop. Not at the house, but just a block away from the house. And I sit there in the car, because I like to have periods of being on my own. But in the end, I go in with my family and I face the music, and God has placed me there, and I'm thankful for that. I need people. I'll be the first to admit that I'll get bored if it's just me all the time. One great example is our wedding day. And we invited maybe 150 people to our wedding. And we were very hands-on. Yolani, her mom, planned this beautiful thing there at close to the Lanseria Airport in Pretoria. And people showed up, man. People came. And it's amazing when people come to your wedding. It's nice. Because it means they actually love you. And that day, I felt like a celebrity. And it was a bit stressful at the start, but then she said yes, she wants to marry. And then it was amazing. People were hugging and kissing and giving us gifts and saying, you look great, and want to just pour out their joy over us and say, bless you, hope you have a great life, you guys look amazing. It was one of the highlights of my life, our wedding day. And it was experienced with 150 people, friends and family who we love. If it was me and Yolani in front of a magistrate, it would have been much different. And I would not have had that joy. We are meant to share each other's joy. We grow with it. The Swedish say, a shared joy is a joy doubled, and a shared sorrow is a sorrow halved. We get to do life together, and we get to experience more joy when we do it, and less sorrow when we do it. So that's our spiritual house. Let's talk about alignment. I will ask you, does your house that you're building align with the cornerstone? Jesus. So there's a common gauge here. And one thing that that gives me hope is my family in South Africa, and some are now in Germany, and some friends in Australia, and some in all different parts of the world. And all of us have an opportunity to align our house that we're building with a cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And one day, when this kingdom of God is completed and it's built on the earth, the best thing is that it will align. These people that are miles away from us, we keep aligning it to Jesus. We will be aligned to each other. And me and my sisters, me and my mom and dad, me and our friends everywhere, we will come together one day, and it will be a glorious house that we built. It was one gauge that we all aligned to. Lots of spiritual houses does not align to Jesus. Lots of churches today does not align to Jesus. Those churches will hit a bit of a roadblock. They could hit a bit of a bump. The Oilers will not last forever. That's a fact, unfortunately. What does it mean to line up with Jesus? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. We explained months ago how Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb, is the perfect payment to reconcile us back to the Father. With creation, God created us. It was a beautiful unity, and we were in communion with God. And after the fall and the sin that separated us, Jesus came as the ultimate offering. So without Jesus, there's no other way back to our Creator, to the reason we exist. And when we say align your stones with the cornerstone, it means following Jesus, asking Him, God, I need your help. Jesus, be my Savior so that I can get back to my Creator. It's the only house that will stand for eternity. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. That's Psalm 127. And anything else that we put our energy in that's not aligned with the cornerstone of Jesus will not last. I mentioned the example of families. Families that we're building and loving, can that align with the cornerstone of Jesus? Of course it can. But some possibly does not align. And I'm telling you, man, it's even families who love Jesus have a hard time keeping relationships. It's not easy. I know. We've got lots of family. And we all love Jesus in the end. But we struggle, and we have to go back and ask God to help us forgive and help us be patient and help us be kind. So I don't know how a family does it that is not at all got that mind frame of let's align up with Jesus. It won't last. What makes this house different from all the other spiritual houses? This house that we are building, this house that lines up with Jesus Christ. One thing we might say, it's non-exclusive. We are inclusive. We want anyone to come and be part. There's no prerequisite. It's not a Ferrari owners club. I love this example. Who wants to be part of a Ferrari owners club? Everybody, man. You get to get into these nice cars. You ride them down the roads. You rip across. You go for a nice breakfast with your buddies. And then everybody looks at you and asks, hey, is this your car? And it's such a nice thing. But the trick is I can't be part of a Ferrari owners club. Not yet. Because to be part, you have to own a Ferrari, right? You don't have to own a Ferrari to be part of our community, part of this spiritual house. You may say, well, lots of spiritual houses are like that. We can also say that to belong, you don't need to conform. There's no rules that say, in order that we accept you as part of our body, as part of this church, as part of this community, you need to wear a certain color pants, or you need to cut your hair nice and short like a real man does, or you need to stop your smoking, or stop your rage on the road, or stop. No. What did Jesus say? He said, those who are weary, those who are laden, come, and I'll give you rest. He has paid the price. He has covered us with his white glove. It doesn't matter what's underneath the glove. His blood has washed us white as snow, and we belong here. No need to conform. Of course, when we spend time among this community, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will start speaking in your heart and say, hey, you lose your temper a lot on the road. Hey, what is that? You go off easily on your wife. What is that? And I hope that God will start changing you. And we would pray that you will not be the same guy coming here that than what you leave. I would hope there's growth and there's change. But it does not make or break you belonging to this community. It's not a prerequisite. A lot of places are not like that. A lot of spiritual houses, you walk the same, you talk the same, you dress the same, you worship the same, you do things the same, and then you get to be part. But you may say they're still a bunch of guys that do those things. The true differentiator, I would say, as it's in the scripture, is that we are called to proclaim his excellencies. This house that God calls us to be part of, the purpose called to proclaim his excellencies. We need to speak about his wonderful deeds. That's our purpose. When we get together, we sing songs that give God glory, that praise his name. He talks about giving spiritual sacrifices to God. The life of Jesus, we can see amazing good examples of how Jesus always honored God. Let's move on to the placement. So I want you to imagine a wall that's part of this house we're building. And like a stone in that wall, it's supported from underneath by other stones. And it supports stones above it. And it's connected to the side. That stone is in. That's the placement of us. We get in. Leonard always says, get in when we get to his house. Get in. Get in to the spiritual house. Can you imagine a stone, this beautiful, nice granite stone, lying next to the cathedral that's being built? We've been to amazing cathedrals in Europe, in London. There's all these beautiful houses that were built for God. And this stone is just lying there next to the wall. And he says, oh, I'm so glad to be part of this beautiful church, this beautiful cathedral, this beautiful house we're building for the Lord. And every day this stone shows up and just looks at the wall. And he thinks he's part. But he's not being supported by any other stone from below. He's not connecting sideways to any other stone to place him. He's not supporting any other stone above him. He's not part of the house. He's a visitor. He's a onlooker. God says, be a stone that's being built in part of this house. So we've many different places we could get into this community, and life group is probably the biggest one that we get to know each other and communicate, but we get in. God says we have to carry each other's burdens, so that's why we carry one another. In Galatians 6:3, we cover each other's weaknesses. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Romans 12:5. That's what we're talking about. When we're connected, when we're part of this wall, we will celebrate, we will support each other, we will keep each other accountable. Maybe some of the stones come with some weird edges, some sharp corners, some pieces sticking out, but now it needs to go against this flat face. And then we rub a bit, and we rub some more, and we rub some more. We, like iron sharpens iron, we're gonna rub each other, and we're gonna make a better fit. I don't want you to become like me. Please never become like me. But when we accommodate each other, when we rub a bit, I think we both are growing. We are both building a stronger wall, a stronger house. We're going to keep each other accountable in this house, this spiritual house we are building. I want to say thank you for coming out to pray at 9:30 in the mornings here. People who just come and serve and we have this prayer meeting, that is beautiful. That's amazing. And thanks for coming on time at 10 o'clock. And we can worship. We can sing to God and we can give praises. There's a serving team prepping. That is us coming together. And that encourages me. And I appreciate that. And I thank everybody that is on time, that come and just want to be part and dig in and do the things that God has called us to do here. There's another obvious one. That if that stone is pulled away out of this wall, it leaves a hole. There's a gap. You are missed. And we've had people come and go and bless them wherever God takes them to. But the trick is, don't be fooled that you think your presence here or your non-presence here does not affect us. When you hear and when you pray and when you are with us and you are in agreement with us, we get stronger. And when you're not here and when you're not on time and when you're not praying and when you're not lift your voice, we miss it. We miss you. And there's grace and there's patience and there's all the good things. And we're allowed to miss church now and again. My wish is that the more we get together, the stronger we are, the better we are. I love it when people arrive and they encourage me as we go into a church meeting, as we go and have a life group meeting. It's good. The Holy Spirit can come, and I want to use the example of Him being the mortar between the stones. In South Africa, we call it the dagger, but I don't know if anybody knows that word. But it can be a bit of a, it can help us connect better with others. Because the sharp corner, maybe it's a really hard sharp corner, but the Holy Spirit can sometimes cover that. And we can still connect and we can still make a beautiful wall. And over time, He will keep us together. He's the sticky stuff bringing us together. So we can build a beautiful, I want to say, cathedral for God. Cathedrals are amazing, big, and it's visible, and you can see it, and it's for God's glory. And it makes a statement. It's not a cave hidden in the mountains people flee to. So, purpose. It talks about a royal priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. And you've heard the term, possibly, we are a priesthood of all believers. What does that mean? You see, the old ways, before Christ, we had priests, and appointed priests, and they would intercede on behalf of the people. They would bring offerings on behalf of the people. And we had a holy of holies where only the high priest could come in. And he would bring this offering and say, God, forgive us. And we pray that our mistakes are being paid by this Lamb, this offering. And that changed with Jesus. He came in and He said, I paid the full price. And there's no more holy of holies, which only allows the high priest to go into. That curtain is torn, the veil is away, and now every single one of us can come and we can talk to God and we can talk of God. We are all priests, and that's what God asks us to be. be priests. Intercede for those around you. Bring spiritual offerings. What does that mean? What's a spiritual offering? In the old time, the animals would pay the price. They would come as an atonement for sins. Now, with Jesus being the ultimate final atonement, we can come and give God things that costs us still. My pride. I think I can do a lot of things on my own. And when I finally hit the wall and I fall to my knees and I say, Jesus, I need you. I offering up my pride and I say, God, I can't do it. I'm not that great, is what I thought. My will, my plans, the things that I thought, how my life will tick through the 40s, 50s, 60s. And I say, God, your will be done. I'll go where you ask me to go. I will meet with who you ask me to meet. I will love and serve those who you ask me. We can offer up our will. We can bring our efforts to the altar. And it's spiritual sacrifices we give to God. And it rises up to heaven as an incense, the Bible says. The purpose. We talk highly of our God. We can do it here. It's pretty easy here. We can exclaim his name. We can give him praises. And when we leave this place, we're ambassadors for the kingdom. We represent something that is not of this world. It's true. And we talk highly of our King, of our Creator, of our God. That's our purpose. So me and Yulani came to Canada 5 years ago. And I thank God that it wasn't that tough. And I say that because my sister and brother-in-law, they recently moved to Germany without knowing really anybody there. And with two little kids. And to find a community to knit in, to find people that support you, it's not that easy. To go to a brand new place, it's not that easy. When we got here, one of the first thing, landed at Edmonton Airport. We've never been to Canada. And Colin and Min was at the airport. Lennon and Laurie was at the airport. They waited for 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know how long. They were so tired. They were just sitting there. Yes, you're here. Finally, and I'll go. And that meant so much. People were expectant of us arriving. There was immediately a connection there. It was amazing. We stayed with Colin and Min for weeks. It was amazing. They allowed us to get going, find our feet. Jack and Bev, they came specially to meet us, brought flowers, brought gifts, just said, hey man, we love you. We're so glad you're here. We don't have a clue who you are, but we're glad you're here. Amazing community. Kerry and Sue, they've invited us over. We've been fishing together. We've been over at their house. It's been amazing. How many times? Doug, when they got here in the second week, he offered me a job. Come work with me. And I already had a job. Thank Jesus. But I would have loved to work with Doug. But I might have not been that great of a craftsman that he think I am. And he just opened his company to invite me. And maybe he was really, really desperate and hope I could fix something. No, but Christmas times, Thanksgiving times, we've been over to Marcy's place, we've been over to many houses. This church, this community does well when we connect with others. When we push in a little bit, when we make time, when we phone up, man, this church does well. This is a good place to connect to. At the moment, when we had our little babies, Elaine and David, we were just pouring in food hampers, people bringing us meals. We didn't have to cook for 2-3 weeks. It's amazing. God has been good, and we connect and we support each other. And then once we find our feet and the next lady has a baby, we go and bring food there. That's how we should do it. At the moment, we're in life group, and it's a new season. Everybody has little kids that run around and screaming out, and I can be part of a Brad and Genevieve and of a Amy and Tyler, and I can see their little kids, how they grow up. Dave and Candace just having a little baby. I can be part of that family because they're in my house and we talk about God and the things together. That's a privilege. That's an honor. That's how we connect. That's how we do life together. We carry each other through the hardship and the tough times and we celebrate with each other all the victories. So I'm going to end God calls us to be part of His community. He asks us to line up with Jesus, to get in, get our placement into the spiritual house, to serve Him, bring Him honor. Enjoy Life Church is one of those. We have many good churches in the city, and Enjoy Life is one. And I ask you, if this is the place where God has placed you, if this is where God brought you, this is your conviction to become part of this community, I urge you, let's build a beautiful, beautiful house together for God.